Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They're the best in the insurance business. And you know, here we always deal with the best. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great pre-owned inventory, great selection, great sales staff that works with you. Trade-ins are great right now. And a fabulous service department all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Dave Keeney in a moment. First, our play-by-play call of the day.
Clifford takes it, wants to throw. Four-man rush. Steps up, delivers down the field. Dotson, 35, 40. Dotson to the 50. Dotson gets a block, 35. Dotson, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State!
86-yard play. Sean Clifford to John Dotson. Part of Dotson's record-setting 242-yard receiving day. He also had three touchdowns, and the Nittany Lions beat Maryland 31-14. With that, we bring in the head football coach at Bucknell, Dave Jacchini. Dave, welcome back. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, sir.
Thanks. Appreciate your time.
And I appreciate your time, as a matter of fact. Jump out to the lead on Saturday. You put together a 10-play, 70-yard drive, and you knocked over 5 minutes off the clock. What did you like in that drive as you worked your way through it?
Yeah, you know, we struggled our first two times taking the field, moving the football, but really the third drive clicked. We got a pass interference call that went our way that really got us going, and then Ethan Grady, the big play of the drive was freshman Ethan Grady throwing a beautiful pass to senior wide receiver Dominic Lyles. Dom, you know, fully extended, makes the diving catch. It goes for 30-some yards. Unfortunately, it was very bittersweet because, Dom came up lame, had a hamstring that he tweaked on it, and his great catch, unfortunately, cost him the rest of the game. And so we weren't able to finish the drive. You know, we got all the way down to the 5-yard line, but still it was great to have that and to get the lead there towards the end of the first quarter.
Dave, I understand the next man up mentality. It always has to be that way. But how tough is it when your depth is really being tested?
Sometimes there just is no next man up. That's the challenge that we're facing. We've had such an injury-riddled season that we're getting down to the point where we just don't have enough bodies at certain positions. You know, wide receiver as the course of the game went on. We didn't quite get to that point. We did lose Coleman Bennett in the second quarter. So, for most of the game, for us, we were out there. I mean, our three leading receivers, two freshman wide receivers, Mason Muir and Marcus Owens, and then our freshman tight end, Christian Spagnardi. So, you just keep going younger and younger. And again, guys that I couldn't be, I mean, great players, they're going to have great careers ahead of them. But just, in a rivalry game, going up against guys who are juniors and seniors, it's just the inexperience. It leads to inconsistencies, and unfortunately for us, that manifested itself in two costly second quarter interceptions that led to two scores by Lehigh. So we just are getting to that point. On both sides of the ball, I just wish it was just one side of the ball, but. We're down to really two seniors on the defensive side of the ball and one senior on the offensive side of the ball who are able to provide that type of leadership and experience that we need.
Well, there's also another part of this, too. When you have enough guys hurt, how difficult is it for you to put together the type of practice that you want to because of depth?
Well, it's impossible. Unfortunately for us, we're not like an NFL ball club that can just, sign off the waiver wire and bring in the next free agent. You have the players that you have. And on top of that, you have a limited amount of time with them each day. And us being a academic institution, we've got a very small window in which we know we have our players and we can go out there. And when you don't have enough healthy bodies, you have to practice more like an NFL team, where you're focused on your offense for 10 minutes and then your defense for 10 minutes and then your special teams for 10 minutes, which is how most of those teams practice. For us, in an ideal situation, we're practicing our offense and defense are going at the same time. And you're getting more reps for each side of the ball, throughout the course of a two-hour practice. But we're just not able to do that because we don't have the depth to split teams up, and have a scout team offense, a scout team defense going while your offense and defense are going. So logistically, you reach those limitations where there's no way around it. You can be as creative as you possibly can, but just within the confines, it really is. And it compounds things. You're exactly right, because when you have young players, they need it more than ever. It's not like veteran guys who can go without a ton of reps because they're so good and so confident of what they're doing. But, we need those reps, and unfortunately that's the one thing that the lack of depth is not able to provide us right now.
In a perfect world, you would like, as I brought this phrase up a few weeks ago to you, in a perfect world you'd like to play somebody a game too late than a game too early. You've been forced to play probably some guys a game too early. It's just the way the circumstances are. Have a couple of those guys, maybe a guy on each side of the ball, surprise you with how quickly they have developed, even when they've been forced in to something that maybe it was too soon for them?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, I love the effort that our players, just all of them, whoever we're putting out there, again, you're right, a couple of those guys certainly are playing a little bit before their time, and they're still wet behind the ears, but the effort... and their attitude. Guys are frustrated to not be winning football games, but they're just giving you everything that they have, even if, when the outcome's been decided, everybody's, really I'm proud of our team, and their ability in the face of the adversity to keep their spirits high and to keep giving effort for 60 minutes. A couple of guys that certainly, have stood out. Christian Spignardi, I mentioned him earlier. He is a freshman tight end who was, buried on the depth chart in early August and just continued to step up and step up. And a guy would go get hurt here and there, and he just kept making the next step. And he is such an amazing, just the to see how far he's come. In just the last month, he's really going to be somebody special here down the line. Adam Bearcat's a guy who has been forced to play some role at the tight end position, some role at the wide receiver position. He's showing to have an amazingly high ceiling. On the defensive side of the ball, we've had a number of guys who have had to play and fulfill different roles. Mason Taylor is a guy, unfortunately he missed this past week due to a concussion, but he's had a couple of 3 weeks in a row where he just continues to play with more and more confidence, and so there are a bunch of guys like that as they enter their junior year are going to be all conference type of contenders and really have the experience to go and with all of this that's why I remain just so excited about the future of our program here around the corner, but these these guys are on the whole are just giving a great effort, and I'm just really proud of them.
Is there a fine line in teaching for you right now, Dave, with remaining positive, especially with young players, but also critical enough to make them better?
Yeah, you know, it can be tough at times. It's a tough pill to swallow when you look at a young defensive lineman that, you know, on one play is doing a great job and getting into the backfield and getting a TFL, but then the very next player, you know, they're getting knocked 5, 6, 7 yards off
right.
the ball. You know, that's, you know, the inconsistencies. And the thing that you do is you try to, you know, get, you know, encourage, you know, reinforce the positives. We call it challenge and praise. We're going to challenge our guys, you know, hey, you got knocked off the ball on this one. That you really, hey, you got to play with better leverage. You got to play with a lower pad level. And then on the next play, when it's the good thing, we're going to be like, hey, look, this is it. This is what you can do. This is what you're capable of doing. We got to do it more. You're only doing it on 50 or 60% of the snaps, and we need you at 80 or 90% if we're going to be a championship caliber.
All right, so Army is next. How do you prepare a defense, not just for what they do, but look, you and I both know these are the masters of the cut block.
Right.
It's the way it is, Dave. I mean, I'm not speaking out of turn here. I've done Army games before.
Sure.
How do you prepare a lineman for cut blocks?
Yeah, it's a lot of technique work. And, of course, you know, we're at that point where we can't go live with our players. We can't risk anybody getting hurt. And that's obviously your number one concern when you've got linemen that are firing out low and going for your knees. So learning and understanding and mastering that technique is really the most important part. So that's step one in the process, is saying, hey, you're going to have to fend off a different type of block. And here's how we do it, and this is the form that you got to take. But that's only step one. Next step is, look, we have to play assignment football. You've got triple option. It's a offense that's, you know, a little bit different than most of the ones that we see, just in terms of what we need schematically. You have to learn your assignment, and you have to be able to go out and play that assignment on each and every down and know exactly what you got, you know, or else you know that an outstanding Army team is going to exploit that weakness.
Dave, nothing but the best on Saturday at noon. It'll be on 100.9 The Valley, and it's always great talking with you. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Sure. No problem, Steve. Take care.
Dave Cecchini, head football coach at Bucknell. Final half hour, Greg Pickle from On3, Blue White Illustrated. I'll be in the final half hour. We'll give Matt a chance to gather his thoughts, because he's been stewing now on the show for... Actually, he's been stewing since Hopkins made the field goal.
It's somewhat accurate, yeah.
I think it's important for you to release. You know, because you're going home to that beautiful wife of yours and those two beautiful children. I want you calm when you get there.
I appreciate it.
And I will be your sounding board.
Perfect.
Maybe for you. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Bridgewater, Gregory coming on the rush. Block going deep, gunning it deep for Patrick. He's got it for the touchdown! A 44-yard bomb to Tim Patrick.
It's a really sad commentary when the only joy you take is in somebody else losing.
This was my lone highlight of the day yesterday.
You've got a beautiful wife and two great kids. What do you mean it's a great highlight of the day? Who cares?
Sports-wise.
Oh, come on, man.
It's always a good day when the Cowboys lose, especially when they get embarrassed at home like that.
Is it true we had 4,685 listens last week?
I believe that is true, yeah.
I just checked the data. I mean, the suit must be jumping for joy because, I mean, he is a social media influencer.
Oh, my almighty!
My goodness. People ask why we talk about the suit as often as we do. I get paid an extra dollar every time. All right, so...
S-U-I-T, that spells suit-da!
Oh, goodness gracious. The game is at Army this week, right? I think.
It is, yes.
What a view Doug and Kevin are going to have on Saturday. The Hudson River, just phenomenal.
Yeah, they've actually been up there before. It's been a couple of years, I think, but they have been up there before.
Yeah. What a phenomenal view. No getting around it. Scott Frost, by the way, at Nebraska, will return next year. They have restructured his contract. Nebraska is interesting. They are playing people tough like they did Ohio State Saturday. You just haven't been able to get over the top. It's like Nebraska is that team that plays well, and you keep waiting for the mistake, and then they make the mistake and it costs them. You know, and then they'll play well, and then you wait for the next mistake. And it's like they're trying to somehow get through a game where they don't make the big mistake. You know you're close, but you still can't quite get out of your own way, and that's Nebraska right now. And Martinez is a part of that. Martinez is a microcosm of that. Adrian Martinez, well, holy mackerel, looks good. Boy, he's running the ball well. Boy, he's throwing the ball well. He's not the greatest thrower of the ball in the world. I mean, kind of shot puts it a little bit, but... Right. Well, you know, he's throwing pretty well. And also, fumble. All right. Then Martinez will be going well. He's playing well. He's running well. He's throwing well. And also, a pick. That's a microcosm of Nebraska. And they hit Ohio State, where Ohio State obviously had thrown its heart and soul into playing Penn State. You know, you could tell me, explain to me why thousands of people were on the field after the Penn State-Ohio State game, but didn't mean anything to them. And they also were hit with injuries. Garrett Wilson did not play in the game, which was a big loss for them. And they also lost their left tackle, and they had to take Thayer Munford and move him over. So, I mean, their depth was tested in that game. But they've restructured Scott Frost's contract. He will be back next year for Nebraska. Now, maybe you'll hire the Eagles defensive coordinator to make you happy.
That wouldn't make Nebraska fans happy, I can tell you that.
I'm telling you, we could talk scheme all you want. Your people are not good.
No, that's also
some
very true.
Are. Some people are. There's no question. Not every. I'm not talking about all 11 guys. But, you know, for example, I mean, Fletcher Cox is now playing like he's an older guy. I mean, older in terms of, like, older. Not having Brandon Graham really hurts. You know, it's
the biggest issue in all this is the linebackers.
And it doesn't help that a guy like Darius Slay, who, by the way, is playing well, and he gets hurt.
Yeah, that was a big hurt. Although, I didn't think he played that great yesterday, to be honest. But
yeah, he broke up that play on the fourth down play.
He did.
In the end zone.
He also had the holding penalty, and he got picked apart a couple other times. He wasn't great. He wasn't great yesterday, but they definitely missed him on the final drive.
He's the best guy you got back.
Exactly. I know. That's the problem. But if the Eagles had better linebackers, they would be a little bit better as well. The linebacker thing has been a problem for a while, and Harry Roseman refuses to acknowledge it. You need good linebackers to be a good NFL defense. Period.
You need good linebackers at every level. I know more and more people are putting more DBs out there, but I think a really good two-way linebacker, man, I tell you, I think that's a slice of gold. Somebody has the ability to cover the pass and also play the run. That's a slice of gold. No question. Yeah, the Broncos win over the Cowboys yesterday was a shock. Not that they won the game, but how they did it. I mean, it was 30-0. Are you kidding me? And then explain to me why the Cowboys are leaving Dak Prescott in the game. Why is he running a two-point conversion? Why? That makes no sense.
That game was an embarrassment for Mike McCarthy yesterday. Between that and going back to the two fourth down calls, and I think that totally changed the game right there, was the second fourth down stop. Fourth and one, you want to go for it? Fine. Didn't work. Now you got fourth and two. You got a chance to get points and at least get to a little momentum, get points on the board. You got to take the points there. And instead, they went for it. You got a bad pass from Prescott, and then Denver really took over after that.
Steelers play the Bears tonight. I was kidding P.J. Mustafa Thursday. I said, you go in the game on Monday night. He goes, game Monday night? I said, yeah, are you going to go to the game? He goes, geez, I never thought about it. I said, well, no offense. I said, you know a guy. You know, PJ's brother Sam is the starting center for the Bears.
Then he should go.
Now, well, you know what? It's hard. Unless he is upstairs in a suite, to be honest with you, you know, he can't be on the field. I mean, that's because, he's on a scooter right now.
Although,
PJ has... I got to do all the thinking here. All right, PJ... why is that? PJ, believe it or not, Jack and I talked to him on Thursday. He has already started his rehab. Wow.
Beautiful.
It's amazing how quickly they get going on this stuff. All right. Greg Pickle, next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Thought it was good for you to release the tension. Great. A lot of screaming. I hope you're not offended that I left the room at one point.
No, I expected you to. That's okay. Most people do.
What? Had to.
Bottom line is I feel better now, and I appreciate that.
Oh, no. In the end, that really is the most important part. All right, so today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, all right, boat, motorcycle, for Matt Lamborghini Insurance. I mean, really, it's a well-paying job you have there at the broadcast facility of champions.
That's right.
All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We now bring in from on3.com and Blue White Illustrated, Greg Pickle. Sir, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Good to be back with you as always, and looking forward to chatting with you here for a few minutes as the Penn State season rolls on.
Absolutely. I want to ask you first, the transition to On3, we've talked to both Ryan and to Nate. It sounds like it's gone as well as it could possibly ask for.
Yeah, it certainly has, Steve. I appreciate you asking. No, things are good at Blue White Illustrated and at On3. We're excited about the move over there and excited about a lot of the things we'll be able to provide readers and Penn State fans and college football fans. And, you know, if you're looking for recruiting rankings, if you're looking for team rankings, if you're looking for just about anything in between, we have some exciting things cooking over there at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. And we're really, like I said, excited about the future. And, yeah, so far so good on the move. And certainly doesn't hurt to do that as Penn State gets back in the win column on Saturday at Maryland.
So let's get into the win column on Saturday at Maryland and what happened. What were some things... Now, obviously, Dotson stuck out. I mean, that's an obvious. But what were a couple of other elements that stuck out to you?
Yeah, you know, of course, Jahan Dotson had just a tremendous game. I mean, when you watch him run, it's just amazing how well he can separate and how quickly he does it. So that really stood out to me. But, of course, you're right, that's the obvious one. You know, some other things, I thought Brandon Smith had a really good game, and he continues to just look like the prototypical linebacker that I think we all knew he could be, thought he would be, figured he would grow into. So that's something that I've kept an eye on here as the season's progressed. I really do think he's developed a lot over the last handful of years. And I think that, or last handful of games, rather. And I think that he's a guy who is just going to continue to really pop up on NFL draft radars, on national analyst radars. I mean, he is just tremendous, and he keeps showing it game in and game out. So that stood out. And then just overall, you know, I know the run game only finished with, I think, before if you include the sack losses, it was a little less than 100 yards of rushing offense. And, you know, obviously Penn State fans want to see more out of that part of the game, but I thought there were some encouraging signs. I'm curious to see if they lean on Kevon Lee a little bit more now moving forward. But, you know, they just needed a win. That was really kind of my thought process going into this game. They need a win. It doesn't necessarily matter how they get it or you know, what goes into getting it. They just needed one, they got one, and that sets them up in a place now to continue in November, you know, on a trajectory that's probably going to be better than what they had in October. And of course, that would start with Michigan this weekend.
So let's get to the red zone defense. They have now in a spot where I think they are at 12 field goals, 10 touchdowns, 5 takeaways. I mean, think about that. I mean, when you see a team with 5 takeaways on defense, what are we seeing?
Well, it's just the red zone defense they have. It's just, I mean, teams, I don't know what it is when teams get inside the 20 against Penn State, but they certainly don't function very well. I mean, they certainly don't, you know, really do a great job of beating Penn State's defense. Some of that has been forced turnovers, and I'll use the word unforced turnovers, thinking back to Grant Mertz and just dropping the ball, or the snap that went off of Tagovailoa's head there in Maryland. You know, some of those things, you don't necessarily create the turnover, but you better fall on it. Penn State's been very good about doing that. So that certainly plays a role in it. But, you know, it's a group that, you know, we always hear Brent Pry talk about bend but don't break and do everything you can to keep them out of the end zone. And this group does. I mean, whether it's the secondary making big plays and big moments, whether it's the linemen getting a good pass rush and forcing a play that maybe needed a couple more seconds to develop, not letting it do that. They do all those things, Steve, and they do them well. And that's why this is one of the better red zone defenses in the country. I mean, I think we can all agree that you need the other team to help you in some ways if you're going to have one of the better inside your own 20 units in college football. But Penn State creates a lot of their own luck, too, and I don't think that should go unnoticed when you're having this conversation, because they create it with pass rush, they create it with sound fundamental play, and they create it with a really good play in the defensive backfield. And I think one of the guys overlooked in the red zone defense, but probably the defense overall, is Daquan Hardy, who's been really, really good for most of this season as the starting slot guy, as the extra guy in sub packages. He's targeted a lot, and for whatever reason, defenses offensive coordinators have, for some reason, not learned yet that throwing his way probably isn't going to end well, and he continues to make play after play, game after game.
Greg, I thought one of the key plays in the game was actually early in the game. I mean, when you mentioned Daquan Hardy, Penn State goes blitz, they go cover 0, and Brian Cobbs, Duffy's son, is in the center of the field, and Hardy batted that ball away. I thought early on, I thought that was a tone-setting play considering the circumstances.
It certainly was. And again, I think that's the great part about Daquan Hardy is that he makes all sorts of plays, right? I mean, he obviously is usually downfield in coverage, and he's usually just kind of like glue against an opposing receiver. But he also can bat the ball down. I think for the most part, we've seen Joey Porter Jr. be the guy that bats balls away, 3 catch of fields every now and then. But that play, you're right, that Daquan Hardy made did really set the tone, especially for a Penn State defense that obviously has been asked to carry plenty of the load so far this season. And it's done a pretty good job of doing it. But at the same time, you know, I think it's fair to say that even they need a little bit of a spark here and there. Of course, every unit does. And Hardy provided that. And it's one of the reasons they were able to get out of there with a victory.
Okay, let's get to Michigan now. It's a team that has lost one time. As we all know, they've lost one time this year. How do you view Michigan to this point, especially the style of play?
Yeah, you know, the biggest question I have about them at this point, Steve, is where are they at on the injury front? You know, that running one of their running backs was injured at Indiana. Cade McNamara missed at least one series. I mean, they have some questions there that I think they're going to have to be answered over the course of this week that will impact how this one ultimately plays out. You know, Hassan Haskins played pretty well blanking on his name at this point. I think it's Coburn or Coburn, something along those lines. Anyway.
Blake Corum.
Yes, Corum, yes. I was in the ballpark. But, you know, I thought Haskins played pretty well when he was out. But, you know, that offense, there's a reason they use both of those guys. And it's because, you know, I think Penn State fans probably heard it on College Game Day a couple weeks ago if they were watching it before the Penn State-Ohio State game. But they see themselves as thunder and lightning, and they complement each other very well. And so if you take one of those guys out of the equation, I'm not sure that offense functions as well as it has at different times throughout this season. So that's something to watch. But, you know, I think back to Michigan State, which, of course, was also before Penn State-Ohio State, and I watched a little bit of Indiana-Michigan. I mean, the key to me is going to be two things. One, defensively, keeping your pass rush out of the backfield and giving Sean Clifford enough time to throw. And then on the other side of the ball, you have to be ready for, again, if they do have both those running backs available, they're going to try and run the ball on you. And it wouldn't surprise me if they utilize some of what Illinois did to run against Penn State and see where it gets them. So they're a good team. There's no question. Are they a team that Penn State can't beat at home? Absolutely not. And so I think that the spread's about right. It feels like a pick'em kind of game, and the home team has generally dominated this series over the last few years, and that has to, I think, mean something for Penn State. But overall, I look at Michigan, good team, probably deserving where it's at this point, but by no means unbeatable on Saturday.
What about the physicality in a game like this?
Yeah, I think we've seen that almost for the entirety of both the James Franklin era at Penn State, the Jim Harbaugh era at Michigan, and of course years before that. I mean, there's a lot of ice needed after these two teams meet. There's no question about that. It's kind of the staple of the Big Ten Easterly at this point, whether you're playing Michigan State, Ohio State, or Michigan, of course some of the other teams as well, but I think those three in particular, I mean, you're going to be hurt and you're going to have bruises. You're going to be involved in a lot of big plays and big moments, and some of those are going to come crunching hits. Either you deliver them or they're delivering them to you. So, yeah, I think that's been the case really for both of these head coaches' tenure, but of course even before that, you know, these teams want to line up, they want to hit you in the mouth, and they want you to know that they think they control the game. And I think that's where Penn State or Michigan can get an edge in this one, is which one establishes the tone first, which one has that Daquan Hardy-like play first, and which one can kind of set the tone that they feel like they're in control. They feel like the physicality is maybe up a notch on their side of things. And if it's Penn State, you know, that's one of the reasons they've had such success at Beaver Stadium, I think, against Michigan, is because they have often been able to set the tone at home and then let their play and the crowd take over from there. So that's what I'll be watching for on Saturday.
Finally, on this one, when you look at these two teams and the ability, I feel like playing with the lead is really important, one way or the other, because to me, if Penn State's playing with the lead, that forces McNamara to win it. What's your thought?
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I mean, I think if you're Penn State at this point, we've seen incremental steps in them being able to run the ball. It's still not where anybody wants it to be, but it's been a little bit better the last 2 weeks. I still don't think, you know, Shane Franklin always says they want to get to a point where they can run the ball when the other team wants or knows they are running the ball and wants to stop it. And I don't know if this group is there yet. I'm not sure it's going to get there before the end of the regular season. It's made some steps, but I don't know if it's made enough. But, yeah, I think if you're Penn State, you want to put enough points up that doesn't matter. That Michigan and Cade McNamara are forced to throw and really go to what I would say is not the strength of their offense, even though McNamara's been okay. I still don't think that in a perfect world they really want to throw more than they run, but if you have some injuries running back and you're trailing and you have to throw a bit, I think that's advantage Penn State. And for Penn State, you know, your defense has been asked to hold up a lot of this season, you know, some games closer than others, but I think that, you know, the defense.
I think we lost him. I think our time is up.
I guess so.
All right, so exactly what did the suit hit?
That's what Nick Sirianni should do to Jonathan Gannon.
No, we're on a roll. I'm telling you, you know, we're out there. We're getting streaming numbers. He's been begging for the whole deal, 9 yards, right? All that. And look, it's too much for him to handle. That's what I think. Tell me I'm wrong. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Yes, suit hung up on. I mean, it's amazing. He sits in the back office and goes, "This is going too well." What are we doing here?
We'll have to work on that for next time.
All right. Greg's still there. I mean, you didn't even hang up on him.
No, I brought him back. He's ready.
Oh, you brought him back? Jeez, Greg, I thought we only had you for 10 to 12 minutes.
Steve, I'm not sure what I did to disconnect the segment there. I do apologize for that. But, you know, I guess I'll just finish my thought with this. You know, when you look at this Penn State-Michigan game, it's winnable for Penn State. I think the spread is really in a reasonable place. And I think if you're Penn State, you want to put your defense in a place to play from a point of strength. And they've done that at times this year, but I think that at home, in front of what should be a sold-out crowd at noon on national TV, you know, get a lead and then make Michigan throw and let things play out like they do from there. And I think Penn State fans would like the result.
That was actually my last question. I feel bad that you hung around for that.
Hey, whatever you need, Steve, anytime, you know that.
I know. You're the best, Greg. We appreciate you very much. And I know we're getting to that time of the year in recruiting because at some point between you and Ryan, we're going to kick it into another gear on that, too. So appreciate it.
We're at the crossover point, right, of recruiting, basketball, wrestling, football, hockey. It all melts together at this time of year and keeps everyone busy and, of course, gives the fans a lot to keep an eye on. So I look forward to chatting with you again, Steve, and I'm sure I'll see you Saturday as well.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
You too. What a shame what the suit just did to that poor guy. Does everybody understand the odds we overcome on this show?
I think they're starting to, yeah.
Starting to? I mean, we were in 10 years. And I figured after a month. I figured a month was enough, don't you?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Oh, boy.
You think Jonathan Gannon was working these phone lines here?
You just...
I'm sorry. I had to get one more shot in. I'm sorry.
It's like watching a little kid with a scab. Okay? Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Not in just like, you just keep going back to it.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Goodness.
That's a pretty good analogy. I'm going to remember that one.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's the way it is. You know, and then what happened Friday night at 7 o'clock this past Friday, we achieved our highest ratings.
Oh, my almighty!
I hate this show. Why do you think we always schedule the holiday party for Thursdays?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Oh, my goodness. The party starts at 7. What time are you off the air on the network? 7. Oh, you won't be here. Too bad. Are we even having a holiday party this year?
I don't know, actually. I hope we are.
Yeah? Okay. Just wondering. And then we'll do our usual charity thing, right?
As far as I know, that's on the schedule.
It's November 8th. Do these things come up in the staff meeting?
There's a lot of things that come up before we get to this, and then we all, like, have other things to do.
I mean, like helping out other people's kind of a priority, isn't it?
You'd think.
You should see my weekend. I had to go here and here and here. Like, everybody's like, can we just get to the point? No, you don't understand. It's about me. And then I had to solve this problem in Ward 4. Like, oh. my feelings are moving. All right. Oh, my goodness. Bears and Steelers tonight at Heinz Field. You know what rookie quarterbacks, you know what their record is at Heinz Field in their first time playing there?
I'm going to say a goose egg.
1-17.
There you go.
How about that? 1-17. Najee Harris has been running the ball a lot better lately. Now, the Bears defensively will hang in there. The problem is their offense can't hang in there.
They got a lot of guys out tonight as well from what I've been seeing.
Yeah, a lot of guys are out. And again, this is going to be the issue moving forward. Eventually, you're going to get the NFL they're going to attempt to go to an 18-game schedule. In 17, the odd number, playing, you know, more road than home games and blah, blah, blah. The NFL owners have always wanted to get to 18. Always, always, always. So the 17 was the compromise, you know, to get more revenue and so on and so forth. But they won 18. The problem is with 18 is the number of guys that end out because of the physicality of the game. Plus, you play a Thursday night game, and when you play a Thursday night game, you know, guys are trying to somehow, some way get their bodies to recover from Sunday and then play Thursday. It's not easy. Now, the Bears and Steelers aren't in that spot tonight. It's a Monday night game, but I'm just saying the physicality of the game is going to cause more and more guys to be out as time goes. Now, the problem is for the Eagles, they keep facing legitimate starting quarterbacks, and three of them have hit over 80% of their passes against them. That's not good.
Yeah, not ideal.
I mean, let's face it. If you're sitting there and the other team doesn't even travel its punter, I think that's arrogant but bad.
Not smart on their part. They can't stop them.